Assembly meeting to order for today, November 6th, 2017. I would ask, what's the matter? Did I miss something? You guys are all ready to go. All right, Mr. Edwardson, if you would lead us in the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Our first item on the agenda is a special order of business. Oh, did I miss that? I did miss roll call. If you would take the call or call the roll, Madam Clerk, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Edwardson?
Here.
Ms. Budiszewski?
Here.
Mr. Gregory? Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Ms. Logan?
Here.
Mayor Kelch?
Online.
Thank you. You have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Mayor. And it's my understanding that Mr. Gregory will be joining us at approximately 7:30, weather permitting. So the first item on our agenda, special order of business. I have borrowed heavily from the municipality of Skagway's proclamation here. Jacob Sims grew up in Skagway and graduated from Skagway High School. He joined the U.S. Army in 1999. Training as a combat engineer before becoming a Black Hawk helicopter pilot. He served in the 4th Battalion, 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, known as the Night Stalkers. He was a decorated veteran of numerous overseas operations in Kosovo, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and was awarded an Air Medal and a Joint Service Commendation Medal. On October 27, 2017, U.S. Army Chief Warrant Officer II Jacob M. Sims died in Logar Province, Afghanistan, when his helicopter crashed. The City and Borough of Juneau and the Assembly thank him for his service and his sacrifice and extend our deepest condolences to his family. On Sunday, in Sutherland Springs, Texas, a lone man committed a very horrific and cowardly act. He entered a Baptist church during services and killed 26 men, women, and children and wounded another 20 before he was stopped. What this man did was unconscionable. Our thoughts, prayers, and sympathies go out to those families suffering from this tragedy. I ask you to please join me for a moment of silence for Jacob M. Sims and for those that died in that Baptist church in Texas on Sunday. Thank you. Approval of minutes. Does anybody have any changes for the minutes for October 16th, 2017? Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. The minutes are very extensive. On page 24 of 31 of the minutes, there is some placeholder text. Keel, question 8:08 p.m. was Waddo said. I would ask that the minutes reflect Mr. Keel asked the total project cost, and Ms. Waddo said the design and first intersection were approximately $15 million, and she noted there would be additional intersections not included in that estimate.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Are there any other changes? Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Acting Mayor. On page 38, we have some fill in the blank. We could all dream what that is, so that would be kind of fun. But
yeah, I think that's what I went over.
Huh?
Is that what I just went over?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I thought you read something that was word for word of what you said. I didn't know what was. Ms. Waddo said?
I think, Ms. Becker, we're talking about the same thing. I think you both caught the same omission.
No, and what? Okay, you said something, Ms. Waddo, and I guess I didn't know that. I was not paying attention. Okay, and on page 43, I didn't attend the annual chamber dinner this year.
Okay.
And on page 44, motion by Ms. Weldon, change the 2 to 4. Or you could go to authorize instead of authorization, whichever way you'd like to do it.
Is that it? Anybody else have any corrections? Yeah, I submitted a few minor grammatical ones before the meeting started, nothing of substance. So, having heard the changes, is there any objection to the minutes as amended being approved? Seeing and hearing no objection, the minutes are approved. We are now to public participation. No, excuse me. Manager's request for agenda changes.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I have one request, and that would be on the consent agenda, item 2A, resolution 2810. I would ask that we pull that from the consent agenda and reschedule for hearing on our meeting November 27th.
Can you repeat that, Mr. I just missed the number.
Resolution 2810, item 2A, under the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Any other agenda changes, Mr. Manager?
No other changes, thank you.
Any objection to the changes? Seeing none, the agenda is approved. Now, we are moving to public participation. On non-agenda items, I have one person signed up for a non-agenda item, and that is Shannon Fisher. You could please come forward. State your name and your address for the record. And you have 4 minutes to talk to us.
Thank you.
About what you would like.
Yeah, I'm Shannon Fisher, and my address is 114 6th Street in Douglas. And I'm here to talk about Family Promise. I'm joined by one of our board members, Pat McClear. I am the executive director at Family Promise. And we just want to join you tonight to talk about our 6-month anniversary that we're celebrating last week. We serve families that don't have housing here in Juneau. It has been 3 years in the making for Family Promise, and it was really called into being based on the fact that there are 70 grade school children in Juneau that don't have housing and 165 students in the school district without housing. So we are celebrating serving 6 families and 23 individuals, including 23 individuals, providing 879 bed nights, 2,631 meals, and over 5,000 hours of volunteer service at Family Promise. And we are just really thankful for this community, its heart for the citizens here, and its desire to serve and participate. So I don't want to take up all 4 minutes, so I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ms. Fisher. Anybody have questions for Ms. Fisher? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Much.
Great work. Great work. That is all I have signed up. Is there anybody else that wishes to address the assembly on a non-agenda item? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. Are there any public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Seeing none, are there assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Seeing none, assembly action. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we accept the consent agenda with the removal of Resolution 2810A and ask for unanimous consent.
Heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. That takes us to public hearing on page 8, Ordinance 2017-06H. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $281,020 as funding for the Juneau International Airport RSA 2B Northwest Quadrant Design and Construction Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by the passenger facility charges.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager?
This ordinance would appropriate $281,020 to the Runway Safety Area 2B project, the Northwest Quad Design and Construction Capital Improvement Project. Funding is provided by PFC application number 8. The Airport Board approved this action at its April 27, 2017 meeting. This ordinance was introduced at the September 23, 2017 assembly meeting. It was reintroduced at the October 16, 2017 meeting due to a title change to reflect a correct funding source. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any public comment on this? Seeing none, assembly action. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Ankervis. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-06H and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Agenda Item B, Ordinance 2017-06K. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $816,000 as funding for the Juneau International Airport Float Pond Improvements Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration and sales tax revenue.
Mr. Manager?
This ordinance would appropriate $816,000 to the Float Pond Improvements Capital Improvement Project in the following amounts. Federal Aviation Administration grant, $765,000. Sales tax revenue, $51,000. The Airport Board approved this action at its October 10, 2017 meeting. Public Works and Facilities Committee considered this ordinance at its October 23, 2017 meeting and forwarded to the Assembly for approval. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, Assembly action. Mr. Edwardson.
I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-6K, and I ask unanimous consent.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Agenda Item C, Ordinance 2017-06M. Madam Clerk.
Is an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $11,200,000 as funding for the Juneau International Airport RSA 2C Northeast Northwest Quad Apron Construction Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration and sales tax revenue.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $11,200,000 to the Airport Runway Safety Area 2C Northeast Northwest Quad Apron Capital Improvement Project. Funding is provided in the following amounts. Federal Aviation Administration grant, $10,125,000. Sales tax revenue, $1,075,000. The Airport Board approved this action at its October 10, 2017 meeting. Public Works and Facilities Committee considered this ordinance at its October 23, 2017 meeting and forwarded it to the Assembly for approval. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, assembly action. Ms. Weldon?
I move that we adopt our ordinance 2017-06M and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Item D under public hearing, Ordinance 2017-06N. Madam Clerk?
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $5,145,121 as funding for the Juneau International Airport Snow Removal Equipment Capital Improvement Project, Funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration and sales tax revenue.
Thank you. Mr. Manager?
This ordinance would appropriate $5,145,121 to the airport snow removal equipment capital improvement project. Funding is provided in the following amounts. Federal Aviation Administration grant, $4,823,551. Sales tax revenue, $321,570. The airport will purchase snow removal equipment to replace aging maintenance-intensive units. The airport board approved this action at its October 10, 2017 meeting. Public Works and Facilities Committee considered this ordinance at its meeting on October 23, 2017 and forwarded it to the Assembly for approval. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, Assembly action. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2017-6N and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Item E, Ordinance 2017-060. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $256,000 as funding for the Juneau International Airport Ramp LED Lighting Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration and sales tax revenue.
Thank you. Mr. Manager?
This ordinance would appropriate $256,000 to the Airport Ramp LED Lighting Capital Improvement Project. Funding is provided in the following amounts. Federal Aviation Administration grant, $240,000. Sales tax revenue, $16,000. Airport Board approved this action at its October 10, 2017 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, Assembly action. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I would move that the Assembly approve Ordinance 2017-060 and would ask unanimous consent.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Item F, Ordinance 2017-06L. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $75,000 as funding to work with existing emergency shelter providers to establish a warming center to be operated when the temperature drops below 32 degrees during the winter, funding provided by the Tobacco Tax Fund's fund balance.
Thank you. Mr. Manager, excuse me.
This ordinance would appropriate $75,000 to work with existing emergency shelter providers to establish a warming center to be operated when the temperature drops below 32 degrees this winter between November and April. Funding is provided from the Tobacco Tax Fund's fund balance. The Committee of the Whole discussed this issue at its October 23, 2017 meeting and forwarded it to the Assembly for approval. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-06L and ask unanimous consent.
You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Madam Clerk, if you could please note in the record that Mr. Gregory has arrived. Welcome. Item G, Ordinance 2017-06P. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $226,300 as funding for the Juneau Police Department's Comprehensive Traffic Safety Plan, grant funding provided by the State of Alaska, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Alaska Highway Safety Office.
Thank you. Mr. Manager.
The Juneau Police Department has received $226,300 in grant funding from the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Alaska Highway Safety Office, to help fund part of JPD's Comprehensive Traffic Safety Plan activities. This includes $183,700 for a 3D scanner, supporting equipment, software, and training, an addition, the remaining $42,600 of grant funds will be used to purchase LIDAR guns for speed enforcement and speed boards that tell drivers when they're driving at unsafe speeds. There's a match requirement for this grant of $23,600. JPD plans to find funds within its operating budget to cover the costs of $16,300 in training and $7,300 for radars. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, Ms. Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I move that we pass ordinance 217-06P and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Item H, ordinance 2017-06Q. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $59,667 as funding for the 2017 State Homeland Security Program, SHSP, grant funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
These funds are provided to reimburse the City and Borough of Juneau for expenses incurred in direct support of the goals and activities of the State Homeland Security Program. Funding from this program is provided to support, build, and sustain the ability of states, territories, and urban areas to prevent, protect against, mitigate, respond to, and recover from terrorist attacks and other all-hazard events through planning, training, exercise, and equipment procurement within the grant performance period from September 1, 2017 to September 30, 2019. There is no match requirement for this grant. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I move that we adopt ordinance 2017-06Q and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Agenda item I, ordinance 2017-06R. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $160,000 as funding for the Emergency Management Performance Grant, funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
This ordinance appropriates $160,000 from the Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. These funds are provided to reimburse the City and Borough of Juneau for payroll and benefit costs incurred in direct support of the goals and activities of the performance grant program, going towards CBJ, emergency programs, police and fire staff, and associated equipment procurements. Required dollar-for-dollar in-kind match is provided through staff personnel services in those budgets. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-06R and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Agenda Item J, Ordinance 2017-25. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the land use code relating to panhandle subdivisions.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would amend the panhandle subdivision requirements of CBJ Title 49 to encourage development. The ordinance would reduce the minimum lot sizes for panhandle subdivisions and reduce the width of the stem. The amendment provides the opportunity for each lot to have a driveway, as opposed to requiring the lots to share one driveway, amends the driveway grade to be consistent with other sections of Title 49, clarifies the parking requirements, and provides an illustration to clarify the setbacks for both front and rear lots. Under this amendment, panhandle lots would still be required to have frontage on a public right-of-way. Planning Commission reviewed the ordinance on August 8, 2017 and September 12, 2017 and recommended forwarding it to the full Assembly for adoption. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, Ms. Weldon?
I move that we adopt Ordinance 2017-25 and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Item K, Ordinance 2017-31. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the comprehensive plan land use maps on the City and Borough of Juneau, of the City and Borough of Juneau, to change the land use designation of Block 25 Juneau Town Site, entirely bounded by 5th and 6th Streets and Gold and Harris Streets in downtown Juneau, from medium density residential to traditional town center.
Thank you. Mr. Manager?
This ordinance would amend the land use maps of the comprehensive plan to correct a discrepancy that was discovered during the analysis of a rezone request. On July 11, 2017, the Planning Commission reviewed a rezone requested by the Corporation of the Catholic Bishop of Juneau for property in downtown Juneau. Although the Planning Commission recommended the rezone from D18 to mixed use under the medium density residential comprehensive plan designation, the Commission also discussed whether a comprehensive plan amendment was necessary. On September 12, 2017, the Commission unanimously recommended that the Assembly consider and approve adoption of this ordinance to amend the comprehensive plan maps for the entirety of Block 25 Juneau Town Site from medium density residential to traditional town center. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none. Ms. Gladyszewski?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2017-31 and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you. Mr. Q?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I need to let the Assembly and the public know that when this broader issue, this ordinance and the next one, were before the Planning Commission, my spouse spoke on them, that this rezone is about 21 feet from my front door. I should say our front door. And so I have checked with the city attorney. She does not believe that we have a conflict under the code, but I wanted to disclose my family's involvement and close proximity.
Thank you for that disclosure, Mr. Keel. So you've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. This brings us to item L, Ordinance 2017-28. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the City and Borough to change the zoning of Block 25 Juneau Town Site, entirely bounded by 5th and 6th Streets and Gold and Harris Streets in downtown Juneau from D18 to MU.
Thank you. Mr. Manager?
In January 2017, the applicant filed to have the entirety of Block 25 of the Juneau Town Site rezoned from D18 to MU. The Planning Commission adopted staff's finding and analysis after hearing the matter at its meeting on July 11, 2017, finding that the proposed rezone substantially conformed to the current land use designation of MDR as identified in the land use maps of the comprehensive plan. The Commission recommended an ordinance be forwarded to the Assembly for its consideration. Staff report considered by the Commission is included in your packet. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, I will let the Assembly know we had somebody sign up, said they're available or fielding questions on this. Somebody has questions on this. Mr. Jones. Assembly action.
Thank you. I would move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-28 and ask unanimous consent.
Same disclosure.
Thank you, Mr. Jones and Mr. Keel. Having heard the motion, are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. I would thank you, Mr. Wall, for offering yourself up for questions. I don't know where you're at out there, though. That's him leaving. Okay. Thank you. Agenda item M, Ordinance 2017-30. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of Mill Site addition to Douglas Town Site, Block 32, Tract A, located at 824 Front Street, from Waterfront Industrial to LC.
Light commercial.
Thank you. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would rezone a lot near the Douglas Harbor. On September 12, 2017, the Planning Commission adopted the analysis and findings in the Community Development Department staff report and recommended the Assembly rezone 824 Front Street in Douglas from Waterfront Industrial to Light Commercial. This rezone, which would expand an existing light commercial district, conforms to the maps of the CBJ Comprehensive Plan. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, Assembly action. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-30 and ask unanimous consent.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. This brings us to unfinished business, the second Anne Franklin project. Mr. Manager.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, at the last Lands Committee meeting, the second Anne Franklin project was an agenda topic, and the committee had follow-up questions that were unable to be answered at that meeting. The issue at hand is we have a purchase and sale agreement with Eagle Rock Ventures with a date of March 31, 2018, and Eagle Rock has decided to pursue a low-income housing tax credit program. In order to pursue that funding mechanism, they've asked for an extension until May 17, 2018. As they work to develop a project, you know, they've essentially developed plans, cost estimates, and financing in tandem. And in accordance with our agreement with them, if they are diligently pursuing development, and it's my opinion that pursuing financing is part of that, then we may not unreasonably withhold extension. There were questions by the committee about the tax credit program, and Mr. Chambor has provided a follow-up memo, additional information, and he's here to answer questions if the packet information needs clarification.
That's it?
That's all I have on this.
Okay. All right. Assembly. We have Mr. Chambor here. We have somebody else here, I believe, from Eagle Rock Ventures as well. So now would be the time for questions if you have them. Ms. Weldon?
Just a quick one. Eagle Rock Ventures said they had 7 multifamily units in Seattle. How many, if any, are less than 60% AMI buildings?
Mr. Chambor?
We'll start with Mr. Chambor.
So I'm Scott Chambor, 2918 Simpson Avenue, Chief Housing Officer here at the New Borough of Juneau. I'm not totally sure what's exactly in their portfolio. I know that their specialty target is workforce housing, primarily using fair market mechanisms and design to keep costs in check. So I would have to look into the rest of their portfolio to find out.
Follow up? No. Thank you. Other questions? Okay, so I have one for the manager or Mr. Chambor. So could you briefly synopsize what has changed since the first thing we saw? Because I thought, I was under the impression that we had something that we're targeting 120%. I think that was the number. I don't have it in front of me right here, but I thought that was the number. And what the significant changes are from what we saw initially that we approved and what they're looking at now.
Yeah. So if you look at your table here of the housing spectrum, so Eagle Rock Ventures has always talked about wanting to target workforce housing. And so workforce housing definition is pretty broad. It's kind of a newer term that's been using in the housing and community development world in the past 10 years. And it really has this range anywhere from 50% AMI to 120% AMI. So there's a couple of different ways to get to market or apartment rental rates for that workforce housing population. You can develop a fair market type of housing mechanism where you use design, number of units, and development costs to get to a margin that allows you to charge a certain level of fair market rent where you can be profitable and also help the community. Or you can utilize this program, which is the low-income housing tax credit program, which targets 60% AMI and below as that part of the upper end of work or affordable housing, really in between 50 and 60% AMI. So it's just a financing tool has changed just to allow them to design a workforce housing project.
Thank you. Other questions? Ms. Waldo?
So they're targeting at 60% AMI. Can they target that, or would that be considered discriminatory if when they bring in tenants that they say, we only want you if you're 59% AMI?
Yeah, so the way the tax credit program is a little bit different than other affordable housing programs. If you think about public housing, you think about the housing choice voucher, first of all, those programs target a lot lower income level, usually 30% AMI if you look on your grid. So really like households that are really, really low income, extremely low income is the target rate. Those programs also tie the rent to the amount that the individual can pay. So they're only going to pay 30%. So therefore, it's a very deep subsidy program and really focuses on the most in need in the community. On the other hand, the low-income housing tax credit program, really it focuses on affordability. And so it just has an income limit cap. So it really says that families or individuals are going to be at the 60% AMI level and then doesn't have, you know, any kind of restrictions on who the renter is below that. One of the criticisms across the country of the low-income housing tax credit program is it hasn't allowed enough lower-income families into the program. I believe only 28% of all tax credit programs across the country have renters in there below 50% AMI. So it's really a 50% to 60% AMI type of a rental housing program. And so that's typically what you're going to see. I listed in your memo a number of job occupations from the state as well as the CBJ that are in that 50 to 60% AMI range, and that typically is your kind of workforce housing occupations, child care workers, bartenders, dishwashers, basically your entire food industry, administrative assistants, park rangers, lifeguards, that sort of occupation level. So I imagine, and everything that we've heard from ERV is that they're going to run it similar to tax credit programs that have already been in our community and really target in between that 50 and 60% AMI range, like the program is typically used for.
Oh,
thank you, but you really didn't answer my question. So sure. On the application, when people apply, can they pick the 50 to 60% AMI, or do they have to rate them in another way?
So they're going to run it like any other rental property. The only difference is they have to, the most that they can charge for the rent is 60%. So individuals will just fill out an application with other details and also get asked the additional question of what's your current income. And that's all they're going to target. It's going to be run like any other fair market property where you want to get people with good credit scores, good background, and a willingness to contribute to the community and be a part of it. So they're going to be looking for really good tenants as well. There will be no other thing that they can ask for.
Mr. Keel, then Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Mr. Schombor, how long does the income restriction run with a low-income housing tax credit build?
So typically leases are about a year, and so you, along with your application when you enter the project, you fill out an income sheet, I forget the terms of it, and then whenever your lease comes up, you would renew that process.
I apologize, I asked the question wrong. How long is the building subject to program restrictions before it becomes unfettered?
Oh, okay. So the low-income housing tax credit program is guaranteed to have these affordable limits, and these are guarantees for 15 years. There's an opt-out term at that point where the operator doesn't have to take the subsidies anymore and then guarantee the grants, and it can turn into fair market. But routinely it goes for the full 30-year period in most cases.
Thank you. And then at this point, I want to make sure I'm reading the memos right. The Eagle Rock Ventures appears to have given up on the notion of first-floor retail or other first-floor office type spaces in an entirely residential development at this point.
Yes. We've seen two different proposals, and both have utilized full housing on site for the project.
Okay.
And no mixed use.
Things that have shifted a lot from initial proposal. So, okay, thank you.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Just to clarify what you just said, you said we have seen two proposals. You're not talking about two current proposals. You're talking about the earlier proposal and this one as the two?
Yes, so I forget the date, but ERV had a pre-application meeting in the spring. At one point, they were looking at just doing a straight fair market rental project and really utilizing, trying to maximize the space and utilize a lot of units. I think it was under about 120 in order to make the numbers work to provide affordable workforce housing. I did talk to ERV and their representatives in the summertime when they figured out that AHFC's low-income housing tax credit RFP was coming out and said they wanted to see if they could configure a workforce housing program utilizing that financing piece instead, and this is where we're at now.
Okay, so I just, the question I really wanted to ask was just the mechanisms for getting into this housing. So, similar to Ms. Weldon's question, you apply and you tell them your income, and if it's below 60%, you're good? And would they preferentially treat people who had higher incomes? Or is it first come, first? I mean, how does it actually work? Because obviously if you have enough income, you can charge more. And if you only have 30% income, the property can charge less. How does that work in practicality? How do they figure out who gets in?
And I can only speak, you know, theoretically. I've never operated a tax credit program. But there are other tax credit programs in our community, the Trillium, the Senior Housing Project, and the Volunteers of America. And typically, you know, the goal is to occupy and fill the housing space, and is on a case-by-case basis. So other than the only restriction for this project is that an individual has to be below 60% AMI, and I have imagined due to operations at the end of the day, it's hard to determine who exactly is going to live there. It's going to be like any other market rent rental. Over time, there will be a lot of different people who occupy that space.
But just follow up, when you say like any other market rental, it's a little bit different. Market rental, you say this apartment costs $900. Who wants to pay $900? That's not what this is. This is if your income is X, you pay, you know, $1,000, and if it's Y, you pay $600. And if you were the owner...
No. So the way tax credit programs work is that underneath this configuration, they're going to have 42 total units available. 38 of these units, the maximum rent that will be able to be charged is $1,066 for efficiencies and $1,142. So it is not, does not depend on a person's income. It's just the max rent that they can afford. They can charge for that unit.
Right, but if you have 60% AMI, you pay 1,066 six, but if you have 30%, you pay 533.
Yeah, but that is in the design stage and with their relationship with their funder. So what we've kind of got as hypothetical here is they're putting in an application to get tax credits so that they can charge 38 units of at the 60% AMI range and then 2 units at the 30%. So there's only going to be 2 units that are in that lower income rent range, and the rest are going to be at 60% AMI.
Regardless of the person's income?
Exactly.
I see. I thought if your income was 60%, you paid 166.
No, that is like the public housing program and the housing choice voucher program.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Ms. Baldwin?
Going back to Mr. Keel's question, I think the 15 years, so looking, and this is just from the federal HUD website, it said it 15 years and you could only opt out if you found a purchaser of the property, and then it has to be 30 years. So it looks to me like it's more 30 years than 15 years. Is that correct? Unless they sell the building?
They could sell the building. There are a lot of examples of folks who do, you know, sell at the 15-year mark, but the majority stay on through the 30-year time period because of the affordability cap. Communities really want this type of housing because you're going to be guaranteed that this income level is going to be have units available. So depending on your perspective, some can see it as being really positive and you want to keep it in and capped for 30 years or more. But if there's a desire to see it go onto the fair market, that could be an option too. We have talked in with the developer. Eagle Rock Ventures all along has stated that they want to develop a property and be long-term holders and participants in the community. So although I don't know those details, my interpretation is that they would probably extend to the 30 years of the program and continue. But, again, I don't know for sure.
Follow? Well, it's a different question. So at the bottom of page 211 of 212, you say that we would have a new $10 million, actually, I don't know if this is your document, sorry, million-dollar property added to the assessment roll with $5 million exempted. So does that mean they're only going to pay property tax on $5 million?
And I would defer to Bob on this question. but, yes, that's correct.
Mr. Bartholomew?
Chair, Ms. Baldwin, and I think I'll take this question as an opportunity to explain a little bit of how the low-income tax credit program works as far as the property tax exemption. So the explanation where the rent's not going to change based on your income. It's going to be set at X, and if you meet 60% of AMI or lower, you're going to be eligible to apply, but your rent won't. The amount they charge for rent will not change. So if they rented all the apartments to people that made 60% of AMI, they'd be getting as much rent as they could get. And we would compare that to their expenses, and the bottom line tells you how much of a tax exemption you qualify for. And in the write-up in your packet, it tells you that the current properties that we have, there are 74 different properties that have the low-income housing tax credit applied to it, covers almost 350 units. The percentage of tax break exemption ranges from 19% to 78%. What causes that variation is how profitable is the apartment house. So if they rented all of the units at the top to I guess I'm going to have to back up. The profitability of the apartment house drives the amount of the tax exemption. I use the example in the packet that the revenue and expense quotient downtown would say they're eligible for a 50% tax break. We don't know until they get further along in their pro formas, know the cost of development compared to these maximum rents that they're allowed to charge. That's going to determine an estimate of how much income they're going to make or loss. And the low-income housing tax credit program says the more profitable you are, the less tax credit we give you. The more profitable you are, that's the public-private partnership. As your profitability goes up, the amount of your tax exemption goes down. And so the idea of the program is the public participation here is a tax credit. And so we're trying to keep the housing units affordable. If the developer is at a low income level, we're going to give them more of a tax credit as an incentive to keep going, keep renting these units. If they are better at driving their costs down, becoming more profitable, the public participation, the tax credit that we give them will shrink. And as the current properties we have, and they submit annually, they have to fill out a form, how much is your revenue, how much was your expense, the city assessor goes through and looks at it, goes through a formula, and says you're eligible for this much of a tax credit. So it's an intensive program, and that's the public-private partnership is trying to help incentivize development. But if they're very successful, then our participation will drop. So my example that they'll get a 50% tax break is really just taking the middle of the pack. It's taking the middle, you know, between the current ratio, the current examples that we have.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
This is, I think, for Mr. Chambor. I meant to ask this question, and I got lost. For example, for an efficiency, the maximum they can charge for 6% AMI is $1,066, but market rate is $930. So are they going to charge $930 or $1,066?
So the rent limits and the income limits are set nationally every year, so they're going to change slightly. So I imagine it'll be close to the $1,066 or whatever they can charge. Again, that's going to be something they have to figure out with their pro forma and, you know, how their rent up goes, and that's kind of more of a business decision for ERV to make.
Right. I mean, just that seems odd. The point is to make these affordable, and you're going to charge, and so the number happens to be more than fair market, so that's in both of those, for the efficiency and the one-bedroom.
Yeah, so, yeah, again, that
fair
those
market
are the,
is less than what they can charge.
Yeah, and those are the numbers now. They change slightly from year to year. And, again, I don't have a concrete explanation for those that change.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, do you have any questions, Mr. Mayor?
I do. In this new design, is there any parking?
We lost you at any part. Is there any part?
Is there any parking?
Parking.
You know, again, the low-income housing tax credit applications due November 17th, so I have not seen full designs, and I know ERV is still working on them. I do have the impression that they're probably going to still use the fee in lieu of parking option, but it also, even in their last design, did have, I think, 8 parking spots in that design. So I imagine there will be some parking. I just don't know exactly at this moment.
Yeah, I have a concern that the assembly bought this particular lot, took down the Odd Fellows Hall for parking, and then we're supporting a project that doesn't have any parking. So it just doesn't make sense.
Was there a question in there, Mr. Mayor, or that just a statement?
No, that was a comment. Nope, no question there at all.
Okay. Any follow-up questions?
Nope, I'm learning from the discussion.
Thank you. Mr. Manager, I think you used the word unreasonable in your preface to this discussion, and Madam Attorney might want to weigh in on that as well. What exactly are you looking for from the body? Either one of you can weigh in on that.
Well, I'll start, and certainly Ms. Mead is welcome to jump in. So we have a closing date in the purchase and sale agreement. and they have asked us if we would extend that closing date 6 weeks to pursue this financing mechanism. And the language says it will be deemed unreasonable for seller, the CBJ, to withhold its consent to a closing date extension requested by the buyer if they've made reasonably diligent efforts to obtain final approval of development approval. So where I sit, they've been trying. They've been trying to develop a project, including the financing, to figure out how to add around 40 apartment units in downtown, and it's hard. And I would say, as evidence of how hard it is, we haven't had a 40-unit apartment project in downtown Juneau in, I'm not quite sure how long, but many decades before we've had something of that size. So I believe they've made those diligent efforts and that financing is part of developing the project, and that 6 weeks is not a big length of time. And again, I would remind the assembly that they have to submit a project to the planning department and go through the use permitting process and get approved. And so details will come forward in that. And what what this timing extension does is it allows them to show Alaska Housing that they have site control in order to continue that work. So I guess what we're here tonight is we started this as a an update to the Lands Committee to let you know about the request and let you know about how I saw our language and providing extension. And essentially, if the Assembly wanted to read that extension language differently, you've got the opportunity. And that's really all we're doing tonight. But obviously, it's a complicated program, and there's a lot of information to get out as well.
And the extension would roughly get us through the end of this year, calendar year?
So I think the date is May 7th, 8th, oh. 18th.
May 17th. All right. I thought somebody threw out a November date just a minute ago.
So it would be extending the date from March 31st to May 17th. About a six-week extension.
Is there any objection by this body to that extension? Ms. Weldon?
I will say I will object. May I speak to my objection?
Well, we haven't got a motion, but...
Okay. I'll wait for a motion then.
Okay. Mr. Jones?
Thank you. I would move that the Assembly approve of the manager's request to extend the purchase and sale agreement from March 31st, 2018 to May 17th, 2018.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Is there any objection?
Oh,
Ms. Weldon, would you care to speak to your objection?
Yes, thank you. So in Mr. Chambers' memo to us, he says, workforce housing is generally defined as housing that is affordable to households earning between 50% and 120% of AMI and targeting households that not qualify for rental assistance. And that's kind of what we were being led down that path with Eagle Rock Ventures. They said their target was 80% actually. And now we're looking at 30 to 60% of that target. And it seems that we're taking some of the most expensive property in our town, eliminating parking, and just doesn't seem the most appropriate use of this property. And I think we'd get better use of this property if we go back to what they originally said and have mixed income levels. And I quote, a mixture of working citizens from people in the service industry to early career professionals with public benefiting from affordable rental housing and market rate apartments. So I just don't think we're going down the right path here anymore. It just seems that we're going away from fair market value. Actually, we are if they get this financing. So if they can't stick to with their original plan, I would say then we let someone else have a stab at it. So that's why I'm objecting.
Thank you, Ms. Weldon. Any other assembly members? Seeing none, I've asked the clerk to Please call the roll. And I would ask the clerk, do you understand what the motion was? You've got it.
To approve the extension of the purchase and sale agreement from March 31st to May 17th, 2018.
Thank you. If you would please call the roll.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Gregory?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
No.
Motion carries 5-4.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Chambor, for fielding some questions, and Mr. Bartholomew as well on that. We are now down to new business. Mr. Manager.
I have no new business.
Thank you. Staff reports.
No staff reports.
Thank you for that as well. We are now down to assembly reports. The mayor earlier indicated to me that he did not wish to give a report tonight. Is that still the case, Mr. Mayor?
It is. I would just like to note that it is a most appreciated moment of silence.
Thank you. All right, we will move then on to committee and liaison reports, starting at the far end. Mr. Edwardson.
Docks and Harbors held a meeting on November 2nd. I was actually in Seattle at the time, so I didn't attend. The takeaways from the meeting, a representative from Morris Communication, the owner of the Archipelago lot, attended and publicly announced their support of the urban design plan, Marine Park, Tataku Dock. The board asked to adopt the preferred plan at the next board meeting on November 30th. The board approved motions that recommend the assembly adopt resolutions one in support of the Alaska DOT Municipal Harbor grant funding, and two in support of SB 92, an act relating to abandoned and derelict vessels. These resolutions should come before the assembly on December 18th. The board authorized transfer of $200,000 to fund the Harris Harbor bathroom remodel. This funds transfer will come before the assembly either November 27th or December 18th. Aurora Harbor Phase 2, Northern Construction Services, is mobilized and has begun demolition. Material barge is expected to arrive in Juneau, mid-December. Substantial completion date is March 31st, I think this is a typo, 2018, it should be, I think. Stater Harbor Phase 3, the higher float, running into permitting concerns, which will postpone construction until fall of 2018. I don't know what those permitting concerns are. Ock Bay Marine Station, finalizing the language of the quit claim deed to transfer 2 acres from GSA, USGSA, to CBJ. The board anticipates that it'll be completed within a month, and the Coast Guard has completely moved out of that facility. Let's see, Docks and Harbor submitted 3 U.S. DOT Tiger grants. See, $25 million for Juneau Fisheries Terminal, $25 million for Juneau Marine Service Facility, $12 million for elevated bay walk from Stater Harbor to Ock Bay Marine Station. The next Docks and Harbors Operations Planning Committee meeting is November 14th in the chamber here. And that's my report.
Thank you. Any other committee reports? Nothing else? Or liaison reports, Mr. Edwardson? No? No? That was it? Okay, nothing else was met. I have you down for a few things on the list here. Maybe they just haven't met yet. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. The Eagle Crest Board met last Thursday, November 2nd. The state lift inspection occurred on Friday the 27th, and the inspector commented that our lifts are in exceptional condition, so that was a good report. As of the end of October, season pass sales are the highest that they've been in the last 3 years, which is a good sign. People are eager to get up there and ski. Eagle Crest's new snowcat arrived on the mountain on the 30th of October. They're pretty excited about that. The annual ski swap occurs this Saturday, the 11th. So if you need some skis, be sure to get down to Centennial Hall that morning. We are getting into the movie premiere season, which will kick off with Snowvember movies, the first of which has been Matchstick Productions' Drop Everything, and that's been happening right behind us over here at the Gold Town Nickelodeon. The next show is this coming Wednesday, the 8th, so be sure to get down there to get in the mood. On the evening of the 18th, there will be two showings of the Warren Miller ski film at the Hangar Ballroom. Come on out, see a good movie, have some fun. All the proceeds from these movies that are being shown will go towards the Eagle Crest Foundation. Progress continues to be made regarding the wilderness cabins, which I've talked about in previous meetings. The cabin is going to be funded by the Juneau Community Foundation. It was discussed that folks have been checking out the potential site for the new cabin, which is proposed to be situated near the Upper Nordic Ski Loop. It's been commented that the sun really shines on that site. It looks nice, and it will not only be attractive for Nordic skiers, but also downhill skiers as well. It will also be rented out during the night. For people that choose to do that. Several different designs are being considered, and so far both mock-ups that have been presented to the board look attractive. Eagle Crest recognized the volunteers, and they say that volunteers really make the mountain come alive. So thank you to all the folks that do volunteer and support Eagle Crest. It was mentioned that Eagle Crest was originally started by volunteers. The new snowmaking booster pump has arrived this week, and this will put proper pressure behind the fan guns, which makes snow. We are hoping to see a remarkable improvement to snow production up on the mountain. Beer and wine sales. We currently have an RFP out to solicit a potential vendor to work with. It's the expectation that the entire contracting and licensing process will take around 4 to 6 months to complete. The RFP solicitation is scheduled to close on November 14th, which means that they will likely not be selling beer and wine this year. It'll be a next year event. As previously mentioned, Eagle Crest is looking to host the Free Ride World Tour Qualifier. They were looking to do that this year. It was a bit of a push to pull the event off this year. The ski area managers made the decision to not host the Free Ride World Tour Qualifier for this current winter season. They want to take the time to be far enough ahead on the process to make the event a financial success on year one. They also want a clearer picture of what we have to offer. They want to ski the terrain that's going to be offered and work on marketing so that this is a polished event and if and or when it does happen next year. Eagle Crest will also be working closely with Travel Juneau to promote this event if it should happen, and also be working with Alaska Airlines for block rates. The ski area manager will also be working to secure a date for the tour after this year's season comes to a close. Eagle Crest is now in full swing with regular winter hours running Thursday through Monday from 8 to 4 p.m. The ski area manager, Dave Scanlon, commented that the Eagle Crest Human Resources Committee will be meeting to discuss staff wages on November 30th at 5:30 in room 224. The next Eagle Crest board meeting will be on Thursday, December 7th at 5:30, again in room 224. The mining subcommittee will be meeting this Thursday, November 9th at noon, room 224, to review applications for additional members of the committee. And lastly, I have yet to attend a Parks and Rec meeting since the formation of the new assembly. The next meeting is going to be tomorrow, November 7th at 6 p.m. here in the assembly chambers.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory. Ms. Weldon?
For the Aquatics Board, they're working on their sunset recommendations, and they'll be presenting to the Committee of the Whole on November 20th. And if it's not in your mailbox already, it'll probably be tomorrow. It's with the memo of their recommendations. They're looking forward to the planning process for the renovation to the Augustus Brown Pool, and they want to know where their pool covers are, Rory. That's a quote from Mr. Mertz. So their next meeting is November 21st at 4 o'clock at room 224. And I was unable to attend the Planning Commission, and Mr. Jones attended that for me, so he'll give the pass down on that, although their next meeting is November 14th at 7 p.m. at Chambers. And just to add to Mr. Gregory's push for the ski sale, it's ski sale and other outdoor gear, and it will be from on November 11th from 10 to 1, and you can drop off items Thursday or Friday evening and Saturday before 9:30. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Ms. Gladyshevsky.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met today and has some recommendations. recommends the appointment to the JEDC board, reappointment of Brandon Cullum and Lauren McVeigh for terms expiring October 31st, 2020.
So you've heard the nomination. Is there any objection to those two nominations, Brandon Cullum and Lauren McVeigh? Seeing and hearing none.
And the Human Resources Committee also recommends the appointment of Peter Christensen to term on the Youth Activities Board, August expiring August 31, 2020.
You've heard the nomination. Is there any objection? So moved.
And the Human Resources Committee heard from the Sister Cities Committee, and they request and the committee recommends that the city officially invite the RCMP to the Princess Sophia festivities on October 25th, 2018. So they're asking for a letter from the mayor to make that invitation.
The assembly okay with that letter coming from the mayor's office? Okay.
And that's the whole thing for the. Oh, and just to let to remind people that the app will be interviewing hospital board and planning commission, and the deadline for the applications for those committees is Monday, November 27th, due to the clerk. The hospital board met on October 24th, relatively short meeting for them, 2 hours. They heard reports from medical staff, credentialing. They welcomed a new IT director, Jason Newcomer, the new IT director. And they the governing committee is getting active, and they're doing a self-evaluation process for themselves and hoping to get the board to do one as well. The CEO reported that on physician recruitment efforts, including expanding the medical oncologist coverage, and also mentioned an interest expressed by a surgeon to move to Juneau next August. They talked about their RFP that they're still working on for a consultant to perform an in-depth assessment of Bartlett operations. And those are the things that this body should know about. And I have not yet gone to a Affordable Housing Commission meeting, and there will be one tomorrow, so I look forward to seeing that.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Thank you. Public Works and Facilities Committee met on the 23rd of October. There were four items on the consent agenda, and the first five items for the airport appropriations were all dealt with at Public Works, and they were dealt with tonight, so I don't need to talk much about that. The next meeting of the Public Works and Facilities Committee will be on the 20th of November. One item will be taking the first look at the proposed spending plan over the 5 years for the tax, 1% sales tax that was just approved by the voters. We'll start beginning to take the first look at how the recommendations are to spread that funding over the 5 years. School board attended the first school board meeting on the 17th of October. They approved the CIP projects for this year, and has been reported in the paper, and I'll butcher the pronouncement, but pronunciation, but they did approve renaming Gastineau Community School to SAIEC, Gastineau Community School. In addition, they had a discussion about combining JDHS and Thunder Mountain High School football, and that has now been approved. And so the football program next year will be solely under the Juneau Douglas High School colors and name. The next school board meeting is November 14th, and I will be in Anchorage and will not be attending. I also attended their retreat on Saturday, October 28th. They did a review of the budget in light of the enrollment drop. They had budgeted for 4,801 students. Their estimates, and this is an estimate done by the financial people at the school district, it has not yet been gone through and officially approved or official numbers through the Department of Education of 4,674, which is 127 less. The impact on their budget is about $854,000 reduction, a combination of state formula funding and about $160,000 of cap funding that we have already approved that they may not be able to collect from us. But once they know the final numbers and have worked through all of that, so there's a possibility, strong possibility, that not all of the funding that we had approved in our budget cycle will actually be able to be dispersed to the school district. They also reviewed the five-year strategic plan, and they did that in conjunction with, I think, all of the elementary and one of the middle school principals. It was an interesting process for me as I continue to try to learn teacher speak and education speak. It's almost worse than government speak. And it does mean something, but it only means something to those people. It doesn't mean anything to the rest of us in this world. Anyway, I'm learning, every once in a while they would actually say what the acronym meant, but not as often as I would like. The Downtown Business Association has not met since our last assembly meeting. Their next meeting is tomorrow morning, 8:30. They do have a project that they have been looking at in terms of a mural on the parking garage, and that will be before the PRAC tomorrow night for some public consideration. And as Ms. Weldon said, I did attend the Planning Commission meeting, trying to remember the date, I think the 7th of October. They took the committee of the whole met first at 5:30. They took a look at the process to comment on the FY19 and on CIP plan. They formed a subcommittee that is trying to formulate a letter that will hopefully come to the Public Works and Facilities Committee on the 20th of November. At their regular agenda, they had five items on the consent agenda. Most of them were marijuana applications. One was pulled for a full review but was approved. And their regular agenda item was they had another discussion, a public discussion on the Lemon Creek area plan. And at the end of the meeting, passed a motion to forward that plan to the assembly with a recommendation that we adopt it. I believe that's on the committee of the whole agenda on the 20th. Their next meeting is on the 28th of November. There is no other meeting this month. I am the presiding officer on the Seventh-day Adventist appeal, and we held the first meeting on the 30th of October to settle on a schedule. We were presented three schedules. Everybody agreed to go on an accelerated schedule. So you can put on your calendar that January 22nd at 5 p.m., the assembly will hear the appeal, Seventh-day Adventist appeal. I don't know why I wrote it down differently on my notes, but I got it right here. So there will be some acceleration there. Assistant City Attorney Jane Morris, you remember it was Jane Stevens, will be advising the assembly as the city attorney has a conflict. I went out and met with Jane last Friday since she's out of town all this next week, and the clerks and myself will all be out of town next week, and there's some things going on in those, so we were coordinating phone numbers and where we'd be and how we could get a hold of each other if anything came up. And I think that is all of my committee liaison and presiding officer reports. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. The Finance Committee has not met since our last assembly meeting, but we're up on Wednesday. So you should have a packet right on your desk in front of you. It's also online, so happy reading. The University of Alaska Southeast Campus Advisory Council met today at noon. They have, as Mr. Edwardson alluded to, already received their quitclaim deed for their share of the former NOAA Aquay Lab parcel, about 1.6 acres, I think. They are looking hard at what exactly to do with that. They have, as you'll all recall, the portion closest to the Anderson building. And so they're looking at whether to move into the old lab now, tear it down, build something closer to the Anderson building, working on their options. Those options are expanded somewhat by the fact that they have closed on the sale of the old bookstore, admin building, former Horton's Hardware way back when. That has been sold. So that provides the University of Alaska Southeast a little bit of facilities renovation money, potentially. They also continue to work forward on the terms of their Title IX resolution agreement from, I want to say, a year ago, which will include all degree-seeking students and students living in campus housing getting some training on sexual harassment, sexual assault, and discrimination, as well as all employees. So they are working hard on those issues to make UAS the most welcoming campus and safest campus they can. A couple of other notes from the university. They are actively recruiting for the executive dean for the Alaska College of Education. So if you happen to know anybody with a doctorate of education degree who wants to lead Alaska's teacher training efforts, refer them that way, if you would. That's open till filled. They also have an opening for the dean of the College of Arts and Sciences. So we're just awash with great places for PhDs in this town. And finally, at UAS, they have their now annual Power and Privilege Symposium occurring tomorrow. That's an amazing symposium with some remarkable presenters and presentations, some fabulous lectures and discussions, and I encourage anyone who can get out for even part of it. It's open to the community. So out at the UAS campus tomorrow, stretch your mind and get thinking about some fascinating and tough issues. My other liaison report is the Alaska Municipal League. We have our conference next week. So I know a number of us are headed up there for various parts of it, whether newly elected officials, the main conference, or some of our affiliates like managers, city attorneys, clerks. I think there's a mayor's conference. And I've no doubt forgotten some, but I look forward to seeing as many of us as are able to attend up there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Lands, well, I think we talked about some of the things. We talked about Eagle Rock and knew that vote was going to come up tonight. We talked about Title 49 code concerning the privately maintained roads. No action on these, but conversation, learning about them. We got a report from Indian Point, a very long history. And so the request is to ask the public to read that also and let us know if it's really accurate, if everything in it is accurate. So we asked for that to the public. Met with Patty Watto for the airport, and she really gave me a lot of information. We discussed the airport plans, many of them you saw tonight, and we passed a lot of things that are going to be funding, which is very important to them to get work done. And then she took me on a tour of the property. And that was really, really interesting. I met with JEDC. They had a 2-hour meeting they scheduled, and a good share of it was going to the Marine Exchange Building and getting a tour. If you haven't done it, do it. It's just a great building, and they're very nice and are really well receive people very nicely. JEDC, the Chamber, Travel Juno, and Jack are meeting The city manager is the chair, I guess, of that. And I guess I'm going to just keep my eye on it because I don't think it's how we originally authorized that meeting. So I'm looking at it and we'll report somehow or other. The DIG group has started meeting again on Fridays, and I think they're going to keep on doing it. The CBJ, JSD, the city, and the school district meet on facilities December 13th.
Yep.
Okay, the next meeting is December 13th. I don't know, pretty scratchy here. And some of the other things just that I did for fun, the miners meeting, I don't go every week because it's 7 o'clock in the morning, but Mr. Jones goes, I think, very religiously, so they're very good. And I went to the Troopers concert, which is great, and the police promotion. And I think that's all.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Lastly, I will comment on the Committee of the Whole. We met on October 23rd. Our topics included the Community Development Block Grant, Parks and Rec Master Plan, Airport Sustainability Master Plan, Homeless Task Force Update, and we had an Essential Public Facilities Discussion, and we talked about the Assembly Calendar. Our next Committee of the Whole, which Mr. Jones alluded to, which has been rescheduled to the 20th of November, tentatively we are looking at talking about Recycle Works fees, the Lemon Creek Neighborhood Area Plan, which was mentioned, the Juneau Economic Plan update, Meanderway update, pools governance, and I believe Travel Juneau update. That might be rather ambitious agenda. We'll see. I might pare it down or hopefully not add too much to that, but I think that's where we're sitting at now, tentatively. Did you want to weigh in on?
I believe we put Travel Juneau on the December 4th, but The other five are accurate.
Okay. Thank you for that. I misread my email that I was in reading. So our next meeting, like I said, is November 20th. On October 24th, the Public Safety Task Force met, and we discussed possible options and ideas on how to try and address some of the issues we're facing in town. Our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow at noon in room 224. That concludes my reports, assembly comments, and questions. Mr. Edwardson, if you care to start us off.
I would. I move that the Assembly direct the Municipal Attorney to draft an ordinance amending the Senior Sales Tax Code section so as to repeal Ordinance 2015-41, which limited the exemption to purchases of essential items and which will have the effect of returning to all seniors a sales tax exemption for the purchase of all goods, services, and rentals with the exception of sales of alcoholic beverages. Want me to read that again?
Please. I was with you for the first two-thirds, and I kind of lost you at the end there.
Okay. I move that the Assembly direct the Municipal Attorney to draft an ordinance amending the Senior Sales Tax Code section so as to effect a repeal of Ordinance 2015-41, which limited the exemption to purchases of essential items, and which will have the effect of returning to all seniors a sales tax exemption for the purchase of all goods, services, and rentals with the exception of sales of alcoholic beverages.
Hey, Madam Clerk, did you get a copy of that?
No.
Prior to that, no. So do you think you've got it?
I would like a copy.
Okay. Does everybody understand the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? See, Mr. Jones?
Thank you. Yeah, I would object. I think that it's premature at this point. Sure, there'll be disagreement, but I think we're going to get into a lot of those kinds of discussions, at least I hope so, in the year when we go through the budget process. I think we have plenty of time to do what we need to do, and I think it's premature to ask the attorney to draft an ordinance this early in the finance cycle going into next year.
Thank you. Anybody else? Ms. Weldon?
Could I ask, might be Mr. Bartholomew, how much is the amount of money we collect from the senior sales tax? Or how much was, how much are we talking about?
Mr. Bartholomew?
Thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Weldon. So in 2015, when the process began to evaluate the exemptions and when we made the changes, the estimate was we would lose somewhere between 1.6, or excuse me, at that time we would gain somewhere between $1.6 and $2 million by where we narrowed the exemption. And the analysis that we've been doing since then, and we're actually updating an analysis for the December 13th Finance Committee meeting on the overall senior issues, that I think you're talking between $1.8 and $2 million, and it grows about 10% a year. As we, well, 8 to 10% a year as new seniors reach that threshold.
Ms. Kladyshevsky?
And we also, our retreat is in December. What's the retreat date?
December 2nd, I believe.
And that's another time that we set our priorities as the assembly, and we can talk about this at that point as well.
So is that an objection?
Yes.
Thank you. Other discussion? So I will hand the gavel over briefly. I will also object just for the reasons I think that I would prefer to have that discussion, as Ms. Gladyshevsky just said, at the retreat. I think that is a really good retreat discussion topic. Thank you. That was all I wanted to hand it over for.
Give it back.
Mr. Gregory?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I also object, and I've been giving this issue quite a bit of thought over the last year. And, you know, in thinking about, you know, that 37% of our kindergartners that are starting kindergarten are not ready for school. There's a real importance on early childhood education in our community, which would help to save our community money in the long run to have better educated students who will be able to live hopefully happier lives. And to also make more money, which we can then tax, is a pretty important thing to consider when we think about, you know, where is the money for those programs that we were presented with earlier this year? Where is that money going to come from? Additionally, we heard from the firefighters and the emergency responders not too long ago, about 2 months ago, and they came in and they were telling us that they are short-staffed and that they are operating at 100% about 24/7. And so that's been weighing pretty heavily on my mind as well. And while I support our seniors in our community, I think that they play a pretty integral part of making Juneau what it is. I believe that the senior sales tax exemption should really be given some serious consideration, and also potentially implementing or possibly implementing a sunset on that, where we grandfather in the seniors that have been accustomed to this tax and eventually phasing that out. And I'd like to see us give some serious consideration to that idea.
Thank you, Mr. Gregory. Any other comments? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, if you could call the roll, please.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyshevsky?
No.
Mr. Gregory?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Weldon?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mayor Kelch?
Yes.
Motion failed, 3A, 6-nay.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Mr. Edwardson. I think you heard some ideas tossed out where we might discuss this further, which I think is personally, since I supported that, was a pretty good idea. So please continue if you have anything else.
No, nothing else.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Gregory.
Thank you. I would like to congratulate the 2018 Women of Distinction honorees that we heard about this week, June Dengen, Colleen James, Kuwani Make, and Lori Morton. Thank you for your dedication and commitment to making Juneau a better place to live. These women were selected out of 30 or so applications submitted this year for the Women of Distinction Honor. Some of the criteria for the award is that the person has demonstrated commitment, has integrity, dedication, and motivation, has shared skills and knowledge, and is a role model and supports diversity in our community. There's an event that's coming up on March 3rd, 2018 at Centennial Hall at 7 p.m. It's a gala and auction and fundraiser for AWARE, which is aiding women in abuse and rape emergencies. And I'd encourage you all to get your tickets early. The event is usually sold out. It's a lot of fun, and it supports four women that have worked really hard to make a difference in our community. And pretty excited about them. I'm also pretty excited about the newly proposed cabin up at Eagle Crest and everything else that's happening up there. There's a lot going on this year, at least from my perspective, and I feel that it enhances our community. And looking forward to the ski season, but also pretty excited about the upcoming Free World Tour qualifier event that might happen in the 2018-2019 ski season. And there's just a lot of good stuff going on in town, so pretty happy about both of those things.
Thank you. Ms. Weldon?
Just a shout-out to Family Promise and congratulations on their six-month anniversary. They're doing good works in the community. And a congratulations to Sergeant Beck and Lieutenant Craig Campbell and Deputy Chief Dave Campbell for their promotions. And a shout-out to the volunteers. I mean, not the volunteers, sorry. The firefighters' haunted house. I've heard nothing but good things, and lots of people got scared with that. And the Gas and Humane Society had a great wine tasting event, and hopefully they raise lots of money for their cause. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Just a question about the Juneau Energy Strategy and when that's on our agenda. I don't think you mentioned it at the CRW, did you?
That's on my laundry list of things to get to.
Okay, so it's not in November, but on your list.
Probably. Probably December.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I went to the DIG meeting on Friday, and Dan Blanchard was there from UnCruz. He had basically a sort of a travelogue and sales pitch for his idea about Alaska Awakening. He is trying to gain support from other small cruise lines and starting to come to Alaska sooner, especially those who are who start here, either in Ketchikan or Petersburg or Juneau. And his UnCruz first sailing next year will be April 14th out of Juneau and one out of Ketchikan. And he is, I really enjoyed his presentation. He has been working, you could tell, pretty diligently on that. It was pretty interesting. It also tied in with, I attended the Juneau Economic Development Council's Visitors Product Cluster, and Dan was there. He talked about it there, but they also talked about some of the other issues, the small cruise ships, concerns they have here in Juneau and other parts of Southeast. Part of it was getting permits from the Forest Service so that they could go to various places in Southeast, get some of their passengers on shore. He talked about the they are not part of the cruise line agency here in Juneau, so they don't get part of the scheduling for docks. So sometimes they can't quite meet the scheduling that they would like because of our dock facilities, and they're not part of the overall scheduling of that. So it's been interesting to listen to his pitch to attend the visitors cluster group to understand some of the concerns of the small cruise ships. Those starting, there's a couple new ships coming in the next year. Uncruises is bringing back a ship that had been in Juneau 2 or 3 years ago, bringing that back next year. I think Lindblad's got two ships coming in this year. There are several others. There's concern over hotel space because they start here. And so they would like to bring in passengers day, 2 days, 3 days early. It's not always necessarily that they're concerned about having space available. It's the quality of some of that space. And there's one particular cruise line that they never mentioned by name, so I can't tell you who it is, that feels that their clientele, 4-star, 5-star hotels is what they want. And so they put them all into Seattle and fly them up the morning of the cruise together from Seattle because they don't think that the quality of the hotels here in Juneau meet their standards. So it's just interesting to attend these and to sort of listen because it's a whole different aspect when you talk about a ship that might have 60 passengers on it or 40 passengers on it or 70 passengers on it. And then Kirby mentions, you know, in the next couple of years, we may have three ships coming into Juneau that average about 4,900 passengers on each ship. And by, I think, 2019 or 2020, there'll be three of those making calls all summer long in Juneau. So you compare that to Uncruise and American Cruise and Lindblad and some of the others. It's a pretty amazing juxtaposition of where they fit within the cruise industry hierarchy. So it was fascinating to listen, and I hope to continue to keep an eye on that. I did attend the Docks and Harbors meeting. I didn't attend all of it. I attended only to hear their update on the plan from Marine Park to Taku Docks, and have some really strong concerns. They focused almost entirely on what we call the Archipelago Project, which is privately owned. It was mentioned at Morris Communications. The property manager from Georgia was there. And they talked about the public-private partnership without saying what that is. They talked about they had all these plans up that they wanted Docks and Harbors to approve, but the implementation of that plan that was there relies on Morris Communications to build the buildings and put stuff up. There was no public there. There was a couple of people that supported it. There was one that was concerned about the lack of food truck spaces. And I have some real concerns. I'm going to try to meet with Mr. Yucatel sometime in the next week or two, talk about my concerns. I think there's some issues there that concern me about the way they've gone about this, about the end product. And overall, having watched Docks and Harbors with the Yacht Club to Whale Park plan and to look at the millions of dollars that they have requested from us that for either the 1% or capital projects, to understand what's happening out at the NOAA facility, and at some point they asked us to ask the governor to ask the federal government for $69 million for out there, and now they have this plan down here, and there's millions of dollars attached to that without real prioritization and sort of how does all that fit, and it just seems like Docks and Harbors has a lot of plans out there that are a lot of money, and I just don't know how that all fits within our priorities. So maybe that'll be part of our discussion in December, maybe not, but I would ask the members to look at the information. Last time I looked online, the information that was presented at Docks and Harbors meeting was not online under that project. Those drawings were not out there. I would suggest that people get copies, take a look at it, and ask questions, because I think there's some urgency that may be artificial and makes me concerned that there will be a lot of people in here pushing for something that this assembly has not understood very well and may not have paid a lot of attention to. So those are my two concerns that I have.
Just thank you. Mr. Keel. Thank you, Mr.
Deputy. I just want
to. Okay, we'll come back. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Let me join others who have congratulated the new officers and recently promoted officers at JPD. That was an excellent promotion ceremony, and I look forward to seeing their work, new leadership in our police department as they move forward. I want to let the members know that at one of our previous meetings, there was a motion to have staff work with the state on some of our child care assistance grant issues here in the city. Ms. Cosgrove attended a meeting with some members of the legislative delegation and folks from Health and Social Services, looked into some of the issues with that grant. I think it is safe to say that there's a lot of work being done. We expect continuity in the child care assistance grant going forward. Hopefully things can stabilize right where they are. If that doesn't happen, we don't expect to see a glitch in services to folks who need child care assistance. But I want to thank Ms. Cosgrove for her follow-up and work on that. Had the opportunity this last weekend to attend a retirement ceremony, or retirement dinner, rather, celebration for Corrine Garza, who for many years has been chief operating officer at the Central Council of Tlingit Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. And I just want to thank her publicly for many years of work keeping the tribe operating, on track, solvent, a strong tribe. It's good for communities throughout Southeast Alaska and their members here in Juneau who are our constituents. And so my applause to her for a long career and a lot of hard work on behalf of folks we mutually serve and our region. A couple of really interesting things coming up on the 8th. One that I will be able to go to at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute at the Sobolov Center at noon. Professor Steve Langdon is coming down from his haunts north of here and will give a lecture on a famous Chilkat leader whose name I would butcher if I attempted to pronounce it, but he is a fascinating speaker and a great historian. And so it's a good opportunity that SHI is putting on here in the community. Those are free at lunchtime. I don't know that I'll be able to get to the 4:30 event at Southeast Regional Resource Center, CIRC, that they have in coordination with the Alaska Immigration Justice Project on immigrants and domestic violence and the unique challenges that those folks face and the opportunities to serve them better. But if anyone has the opportunity before our finance committee meeting, I think that's an important topic, and I applaud them for examining that here in the capital city. I just want to give a shout-out to the clerks. I know we flagged a couple of things in the minutes, but 30-some-odd pages of minutes from our last assembly meeting, and we found two glitches. So impressive. Many thanks for... the font did not look larger than usual. It was impressive, so thank you. And then just finally, coming up Saturday is Veterans Day, and I have not seen any advertisements, so I'm going to show up in hopes at 11 o'clock at Evergreen Cemetery of the usual observances taking place there, and hopefully we'll meet with a lot of similarly minded folks. So I look forward to marking Veterans Day this Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I have nothing that I feel is important enough to prolong this meeting, so no, nothing.
Thank you. Ms. Gladyszewski, you had something you wanted to bring up again?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's okay. I will ask it offline. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I only have a few things. Everybody hit pretty much everything I wanted to talk about. Promotions, Haunted House, Family Promise, Veterans Day. I will say that I was fortunate enough to go to the Red Ribbon Week dancing out at the Nugget Mall with Janice Holst and the dancers. That's the second year I've been able to go out there and see that, and that is a lot of fun to be part of that and to watch it happen. Also wanted to talk briefly about projects. We see a lot of projects coming through, but we don't often see when they get near the end. You can drive out by Dunn Street. Dunn Street got paved the other day. That's a long-running issue for us. Dunn Street, yay. That's what I say.
About that, bro.
That's done. If you get up Blueberry Hills, that's nearly done all the way to the top as well. And airport always has projects ongoing, and I'm leaving stuff off, obviously, but appreciate, get around and try and appreciate all the projects that you all and the city and a lot of people, contractors and stuff around town, have been a part of making happen, and they just happen and you don't notice. Drive by and, wow, I didn't realize that was done, and it's stuff, a lot of that stuff's been in front of us, so it's good to take a look at it and see that it's been done. And the weather, last thing, one of the clerks sent out the weather advisory. I would tell you, if you're on the water, get off. If you live in Douglas, it's already started to blow. They're predicting 70 knot winds in northern Lynn Canal tonight. So if winter's here, if you've got stuff that needs to be tied down, tie it down soon before it ends up in your neighbor's yard or through their window. And it's cold. And that's all I have. So we are now down to continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Do I have any more sign-ups? I have nobody left. So, all right. Executive session. Ms. Becker.
May I request a break before we go into executive session?
You can after you move us there. That's what I was going to do. So.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I move that we adjourn, recess executive session to discuss matters the immediate knowledge of clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the public entity, specific litigation updates.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Is there any objection from the public?
Good night.
Seeing and hearing none, we will recess into executive session. It is about 8:53, if we could make sure we're all back by 9:00.